Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're going to read text 32 from chapter 25. And it's a nice verse. This is Kapila Dev responding to Devahuti's next set of questions. If you have your book, it's text 28 specifically. What kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? Did you know there are different kinds of devotional service? And it's not just the nine kinds of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. That's not the reference. Rather, there are different categories, just say pure and mixed devotional service. That's where it's going. And the response, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lord Kapila said, very interesting response. The senses are symbolic representations of demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the direction of the Vedic injunctions. As the senses are representations of the demigods, so the mind is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve. So here's the punchline of his response. When that service spirit is engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any motive, that is far better than salvation. And thus, Rupa Goswami, presenting the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, who is presenting the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, unmotivated devotional service. Ahoituki apratiyata deyatma supersedati. Or a similar expression in the first canto, chapter 2 of Bhagavatam, where Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Jan, excuse me, Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhoksaje Ahaituki Apratiyata. Ahaituki Apratiyata. Ahaituki means unmotivated. And the term, the language of this verse, text 32, is Animitta. Animitta is translated as without motive. So, what does nimitta mean? Nimitta matram bhavya savya sachin. Krishna says, be my instrument. So, if devotional service is seen as an instrument to get sense gratification, or devotional service as seen as an instrument to get knowledge, acquire knowledge, not devotion to Krishna, but knowledge, just knowledge in your knowledge basket, just fill it up. Then that's nimitta, where devotional service is an instrument of some material motive. But animitta is without material motive. So, or causeless devotional service. What's the cause of causeless devotional service? The desire to serve. What does one want in causeless devotional service? One wants to please Krishna. Can you all come around so I can, you know, it's weird. Thanks. Okay. I'm going to go to the third paragraph of the purport first, where it begins. Kapila Dev said that when the senses, without desire for material profit or other selfish motives, so that's this animitta, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in devotional service. If you remember, going way back to verse 25 of this chapter, then real devotional service begins. That's this satam prasangam mama viryasam vidho, that nice verse. Bhavanti rit karna rasayana kata tajjoshanad ashapavarga vartmani apavarga vartmani. One is on the path of ultimate liberation. Then real devotional service, shradharatir bhaktir anukramishati. So bhakti means, unpack it, it's devotional service is, just as Rupa Goswami said, devoid of or absent karma and gyan, aspirations for fruitive activity and prospering and enjoying through fruitive activity, and absent minus speculative knowledge or the desire to see the medium of devotional service as a way to get, acquire speculative knowledge. So then, when that attainment is reached, then real devotional service begins. Then that's the mature stage of what we're doing now, because we have mixed. And he's teaching unmixed. Rupa Goswami is teaching unmixed. Lord Chaitanya is teaching unmixed. The Bhagavatam is teaching unmixed devotional service. So unmixed has, in this one sense, is motivation, the purpose for which one engages in devotional service. In the beginning stage, there's a motive. It's just because of our condition. We're immersed in materialism, material existence. And so there's some motive I want in the field of material energy, at least so that the sadhana is to cultivate becoming freed from that material motivation in principle and striving accordingly. That's where this verse 25 phrase, taj joshanad, having acquired that knowledge, here's the by cultivating such knowledge. Okay, now I understand what devotional service is. Now let me cultivate that. Taj joshanad. Ashu means quickly, very quickly, very quickly in comparison to many lifetimes of other processes. Very quickly. Apavarga vartmani. One moves along the path of liberation. But this verse is saying bhakti surpasses liberation. What's beyond liberation? The answer is bhakti. Why is what does that mean? Beyond liberation, beyond being freed from the clutches of material contamination, of motivation. It's the positive position of the soul, not just neutral towards matter, but the positive position of the soul. What's the positive position of the soul? Where the mind? You got to come sit in the front row here. I promise I won't hurt you. Just stay close by. Ladies, please come move in a little bit. Instead of the, you're okay, but you know, they're just like off in the kitchen or something. Okay, thanks. Back to text 32. That spirit, the unmotivated devotional services, the pronoun that, what it refers to, that spirit is unmotivated devotional service. That spirit of service is far better than siddhi, or salvation. I'm going to tie some pieces together from our discussion. Do you remember when I read that little passage from Uddhava speaking to Vidura, chapter 2 of Canto 3? He returned back to this plane and started to speak. And there was that very nice discussion about the role of a sadhu in one's life, that it gives taste. And from that taste, when it's cultivated, it matures. And Lord Chaitanya's explanation to Rupa Goswami about the unfolding of the creeper of bhakti, and the creeper catches a tree and then it grows like that. Remember that discussion? So this is the connection. Because the previous section is all about sadhu sangha, and now through that sadhu sangha some taste. And what's the taste? Devotional service that's unmixed. We're accustomed to, whatever we do, motivated. What is it that's not motivated? It's just to serve Krishna. It's not within our experience, at least our immediate recall of simply wanting to serve Krishna. But the sadhu sangha, the message of the sadhu is that, and one may get a taste for that. And you touch Joshanut, you cultivate that. And then the creeper grows. You engage in devotional service in consciousness like that, cultivating that consciousness while engaging in the activities. It's not just the activities. It's the consciousness behind the activity. Or we sometimes say internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. There's what we do, and there's the consciousness that's behind what we do. The one who cultivates that, that's this spirit of devotional service, is far better than siddhi, salvation. That's in this. That's in the Sanskrit of text 32. I'll read just the last two lines, those of you that have books. Animita bhagavati bhakti siddhir grishasi. Bhakti siddhir grishasi. Grishasi is better. Better than siddhi is bhakti. Which kind of bhakti? Because that's her question. Which kind of bhakti? And he's not saying Gyan yog, bhakti, you know, hatha yog, this yog, that. It's bhakti. It's bhakti that's unmixed. Whatever the form may look like, whatever the yuga might be, it's bhakti that's unmixed, without motivation. Animita, without motive. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That bhakti siddhir grishyasi. His teaching is that devotional service is without motivation. That's the best. You wanted to know, text 28, what's the best? This is the best. If you recall from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 29, the last verse, Krishna has said, by all means be a yogi, and by all forms of yogi, the best is Shradhavan Bhajate Yomam. And now Kapila Deva is saying, best amongst that is where there's no motive. That's the teaching of the Bhagavatam. We'll go back to the introductory verses of the Bhagavatam, where Vyasadeva writes, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. What's paradharma? It's bhakti that's unmixed. So that's the proclamation at the very beginning. And here now, Kapila Deva is detailing it. And he's going to detail it further and detail it further. He's going to really drill down until you get the full anatomy of devotion that's unmixed. And that's the best. In case you don't know what it is, here's what it is. He's going to detail it. Should be no doubt. Just hear carefully what he's saying, and you're fully equipped. Next sentence, the last paragraph of text 32, purport. Bhakti, comma, the inclination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comma, is a transcendental position far better than mukti or liberation. Saying the same thing. Thus, bhakti is the stage after liberation. Three sentences in a row, in case you didn't get it the first time. Unless one is liberated, one cannot engage the senses in the service of the Lord. That is to say, bhakti is engaged from the position of liberation, if you're doing it properly. And Bhagavad Gita confirms. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangsati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Labhate, one achieves, obtains from the platform of nasochati nakangsati, no motivation, no hankering, lamenting. I want and whining and complaining. Oh, I didn't get. It's beyond that. It's beyond. It's from that platform and then beyond that platform. That's what that verse in Bhagavad Gita is saying, and now Kapila Deva is saying it in different language, and Prabhupada is illuminating in his purport. When the senses are engaged, either in material activities of sense gratification or in the activities of Vedic conjunctions, there is some motive. So, unregulated or regulated by the codes of the Vedas. That doesn't purify the desire for separate enjoyment from the Lord. Just being Vedic, being dharmic. It's mode of goodness enjoyment. It's authorized mode of goodness enjoyment. But it's not the purpose of the Vedas. What's the purpose of the Vedas? Paradharma, reach Krishna, understand Krishna, love for Krishna. That's the purpose of the Vedas. Last sentence of that paragraph, the conclusion is that when the mind, without being deviated either by Vedic injunctions or material activities, is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is far better than the most aspired for liberation from material entanglement. He's not saying, what's the best? Merge with the Supreme. Become one with the Supreme. That's the best. He's saying explicitly, Animita Bhagavati Bhakti Siddhir Griyasi. Griyasi. And then the earlier part is a little confusing, or it's not something we're accustomed to hearing in relation to devotional service, particularly. Like talk of the demigods and the senses. So the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. You're accustomed to hearing that? No. What's that about? There's a little soundbite over here about something that's going to come up later. And something that's going to come up later is another question that Devahuti asks and Lord Kapila answers, and that is how from the unmanifest state into the manifest state the Lord and His energies are working as causal influences to bring about creation. So, the demigods come after Sarga. Sarga is what the Lord does, and then Lord Brahma does this Sarga. He puts all the ingredients together. And part of putting all the ingredients together is superintendence of the creation. And part of the creation is the senses. So let me slowly make a subtle distinction. There's sensory power, and then there's the senses. For example, the power of locomotion living entities have. And supposing our power of locomotion is through our legs, but supposing your legs are broken or gone, is the power of locomotion gone? No. You can get a wheelchair or get crutches or get a car or, you know, because the power of locomotion is there. We have an ear and we have the power of hearing, supposing the ear is damaged. Maybe science will figure out a way to take that machine part out, put another machine part in, and you got hearing again. Because there's the power of hearing and then there's the instrument. This is the third canto. In the fourth canto, towards the end of the fourth canto, there's this long description by Narada to King Puchinibari about King Puranjana and the city that he lives in. The city that he lives in is the body, and there's different gates in the city, and then there's different servants and warriors and generals within, you know, his army. And that's referring to within, it's the subtle senses, including the mind. Subtle senses, including the mind. So, when the subtle senses don't require demigods because they're not machine parts. But when Brahma makes the machine parts based upon the ingredients and the sensory power, then you need demigods to control matter, you know, the functions of matter, the blinking of the eyelid and the digesting of your food and so forth. One needs demigods. So Brahma creates the demigods. So there's reference here. Kapila is speaking now about something he's going to elaborate later. That says the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. So now I'm going to go ahead. This isn't yet detailing, it's just saying it again. I'm reading from chapter 26 of Canto 3, text number 8, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, the cause of the conditioned soul's material body and senses, and the senses presiding deities, the demigods, is the material nature, Prakriti. Of course, what's the cause of Prakriti? Pretty jazzy. This is understood by learned men. The feelings of happiness and distress of the soul, who is transcendental by nature, are caused by the spirit soul himself. The verse, the Sanskrit verse is, you've heard this verse almost the same from Bhagavad Gita chapter 13. Karya karanam kartritve karanam prakritim vidhu. It ends up a little different, but it's the same message. Material nature is the cause of causes and effects of this world, and the living entity, Bhoktritve sukha dukha nam purusham prakriti param. Although the living entity is superior to prakriti, he is the cause of his sukha and dukkha, or sada sad yona jamishu in the language of Bhagavad Gita. Living entity is responsible for his happiness and distress. Material nature is responsible for the bodies and the senses, and the demigods that control the senses. The material nature is under the direction of Krishna. So now we'll go back to text 32 from chapter 25. Kapila Dev says, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. In short, the demigods have a role in the sense activities. Without, you can't blink your eyelid without the control of the demigods. You can't walk. You can't, your power of whatever the sensory power is, whatever the bodily function is, you can't do without the sanction of the demigods. And that's controlled because they're produced by Prakriti. It's controlled ultimately by the Supreme Lord. But they're just administering, the demigods are just administering according to the empowerment given to them by the Supreme Lord. And we're able to do whatever we're able to do by the control of the demigods, at least in the sensory position. Okay, so that's not critical. If it's a little confusing, hey, what's going on here? Don't worry about it, because the next part is more important, and then the final part is most important. The senses are symbolic representations of the demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the direction of the Vedic injunctions. Because where do the Vedic injunctions come from? Narayana. The personality of Godhead is the source of the Vedas. And the Vedas regulate the activities of the living entities if they're properly situated. So the message is, it's the natural position for the senses to be engaged under Vedic regulation, which are under the control of the demigods. So we propitiate the demigods for something or other, and they dispense something. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's also discussed in chapter 26. When the mind appears, there's a presiding deity of the mind, Aniruddha. Now, in this case, Aniruddha is not a demigod, but he's the controlling expansion of the personality of Godhead. So the mind, when properly situated, is meditation upon Aniruddha. So the mind is the representative of the Supreme Personality of God, and He's the presiding deity. Thus, the mind's natural duty is to serve. When that service spirit is engaged in devotional service to the Personality Godhead without any motive, that is far better than salvation. So what's that type of... Her question, 28, text 28, is what's the best? The best is where the mind is fully engaged in Krishna, or the Personality of Godhead. That's the best. The Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. And now this is the graduate study of that message, Bhagavad Gita's message. The mind has its presiding deity, Personality of Godhead. So it's natural for the mind to be engaged in the Personality of Godhead. Service and meditation. Service and meditation. Engaging your prescribed duty and always think of me. Service and meditation. Because the sense, the mind is the ruler of the other senses. If the mind is going to Krishna, the other senses are going to follow. And conversely, if the mind doesn't go to Krishna, the senses are going to follow. And then you get this bahushaka yanantascha, splayed out, many branched material life. Very complicated. Very overwhelmingly complicated. Your head's spinning. But a life of a devotee is very simple. Go to Krishna. The senses, this sense, that sense, the other sense, it's go to Krishna. Because the mind is fixed in that disposition. Directed by buddhi, spiritual intelligence. And Krishna gives that buddhi. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it in a university. You can't get it from reading books. You can't get it at Walmart. You can't get it any other place but from Krishna. And dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Who are those persons that Krishna gives that buddhi to? Tesham satvati yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam. Purvakam, completely engaged in that way. Krishna gives buddhi, and buddhi directs the mind, and the mind directs the senses, and the senses are then engaged in devotional service. That is the best kind. Kapila Deva's teaching. He's not talking about this ism and that ism, this belief, that belief. It's not about belief. It's not a belief system. It's a science of how Prakriti works. Very scientific, not sentimental. There's sentiment, but it's not sentimental in the sense that it's unguided by a strong intelligence. It's guided by a strong intelligence. You know, you have to exercise your intelligence to get all of this understanding together. But with that proper discrimination between matter and spirit and how matter works and how spirit guides matter, energizes, directed properly towards the goal, Krishna. It's a very powerful science. Very powerful. So now, there's a few other terms that are in Kapila Dev's answer in text 32 that I'm going to cover. Two parts. First is just go through the purport, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's brilliant elucidation in his commentary. So, first paragraph of the purport, those of you that have your books. The senses of the living entity are always engaged in some occupation, either in activities prescribed in the injunction of the Vedas or in material activities. The natural inclination of the senses is to work for something, like fruitive. And the mind is the center of the senses. The mind is actually the leader of the senses, therefore it is called sattva. in the verse. Kapila Deva is referring to that type of devotional service where sattva, the mind, and it also indicates in goodness, and the mind in goodness is worshipping the personality of Godhead. But the mind is the ruler. Similarly, the leader of all the demigods who are engaged in activities in this material world, the sun god, moon god, Indra, and others, is the supreme personality of Godhead. So the mind rules the senses, and the personality of Godhead rules the demigods that rule the senses. The math is easy. Bring the mind to Krishna exclusively and engage the senses accordingly. Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. Second paragraph. It is stated in the Vedic literature that the demigods are different limbs of the universal body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Standard understanding. In that universal form, the verbal description and the visual description, there's demigods. They reside in the higher realms, but they're in charge of the whole thing. So their influence is throughout the whole of the universe. And that means the senses of all the bodies of all living entities, without exception. There's no exception. Our senses are the representations of various demigods. It doesn't mean they're non-real or metaphorical or something like that. It means there's the master and there's the servant. And the servant is to obey the master. The senses are under the direction of or representatives of the demigods in that sense. And the mind is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses, led by the mind, act under the influence of the demigods. I'll read it again. The senses, led by the mind, act under the influence of the demigods. And the demigods act under the influence of the Personality of Godhead. That form of bhakti, which is best, is fixes one's mind upon the form and personality and activities and the particulars of the personality of Godhead. Not the undifferentiated Brahman, but the personality of Godhead. Because you can't have service without a person. Very simple. So, when the service is ultimately aimed at the personality of Godhead, the senses are in their natural position. The Lord is called Rishikesh, and therefore he is actually the proprietor and ultimate master of the senses. The senses and the mind are naturally inclined to work, and when they are materially contaminated, they work for some material benefit, or for the service of the demigods, although actually they are meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are called Rishika, and the Supreme Personality of God is called Rishikesha. Indirectly, all the senses are naturally inclined to serve the Supreme Lord. That is called bhakti. Beautiful. For persons that aren't analytical, this is like chewing tar or something. Oh. But for those that want to be how does this work? And I have a doubt. And just go through Sankhya philosophy and, you know, it's compelling. It's so clear. Now here's Vishwanath, last part. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Long commentary. Because this is a lead-in verse for a lot of other detail that's going to follow. So he doesn't go into all the detail, he's just taking item by item what the message is and unpacks it a bit. So, what's the best form of bhakti? her question is yoga that's filled with bhakti. Bhakti vitana yogam is her phrase. And one, it's beyond the modes of nature. But Brahman is also beyond the modes of nature. It's neutral, beyond the modes of nature. So then it's more, it's directly under the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Subtitle, not the demigods. So, as in Rupa Goswami's language, bhakti is exclusive, or it's singular. It's to one person. I gave this example the other day during this discussion. A faithful wife does not contemplate in her mind, there may be other nice husbands out there. Maybe this one would be a nice husband. Maybe that one would be a nice husband. Maybe the other one would. A faithful wife, a chaste and faithful wife, doesn't think like that. It's the thought that is not entertained. Similarly, in bhakti, it's exclusive. There's the personality of Godhead. There isn't any other. And I don't need any other. Everything comes from that one, and I don't need to think of the many demigods and what about this and that and the other thing. Just one thing. Vyavasayatmika bhuti ekeha kuru nandana. Singular. On the personality of Godhead. Exclusive. So there was this other kind of unmixed devotional service. Now this is another element of that kind of bhakti where it's just one supreme person. Thank you. Somebody forwarded to me a website link that's a documentary on Jerusalem. And the subtitle of the documentary on Jerusalem is The Cradle of Monotheism. Excuse me, but that's, you know, just even before you get going, it's the title is not correct. Satya Yuga, Lord Kapila Dev, long before there was Jerusalem. Anyway, directed exclusively. You remember this Bhagavati Bana, Bhagavata Bana, the arrow of devotion unto this personality of Godhead. It is aimed at the process of bhakti, is aimed at the bhakta is the arrow, and bhakti aims the arrow at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And singular, not something else, not a whole bunch of different targets, one target. Unmixed in the shelter that one receives. And then he also describes the mind of such a devotee. The mind of such a devotee is fixed in this way. The form and the name of the Supreme Lord is the alone is the most worthy shelter. If you remember from our discussion on previous verses where Devahuti is addressing her son as Sharanya, and Prabhupada has translated that as the only worthy personality to whom one can fully surrender. Exclusive. The only worthy person unto whom one can fully surrender. And from that same root is Sharanagati, the path of attaining shelter, moving to that position. So moving leads to attaining. He who is exclusively worthy of shelter. So this is another qualifier in response to Devahuti's question, what's the best form of bhakti? That's the best form of bhakti. The mind, the sense of shelter, beyond the modes. And then the next is he details this word, animitta. Another term that can also be used is nishkam. Both Baladev and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur use this nishkam term in relation to karma yoga, nishkam karma yoga, and sakkam karma yoga. It's not explicit language in the Bhagavad Gita, but they make this distinction because it's a valid distinction, where even when doing work for Krishna, it may be with the intention, I get something, and working for Krishna where there's no intention of getting something, just to work for Krishna. It's the service mood. So, that's best. And his elaboration on that is, there's the senses, and there's the objects of the senses, which are revealed by and controlled by the demigods. So, for example, sound, and then the element ether that carries sound. So you don't have the material manifestation of sound without the capacity of demigods. Sound is, Prabhupada gave this example, bringing the hands together. It's not just the hands together, it's the air that's being, whatever you call it, compressed. And that's what thunder is. It's movements of air, some cold front and a warm front, and they collide. And it's the movements of air. It's not two hands. It's air being compressed by another force of air. And then a big sound, thunder. So, how do you get air? How do you get sound? How do you get movements of air? There is the personality of Godhead and his influence. So, the senses and the objects of the senses, such as sound and carried within the element of ether, it's under the influence of the demigods, and we heard chapter 26. That's under the control of Prakriti, and that's under the control of Krishna. So, the word in the verse is sattve, where the mind goes exclusively to the controller of all. And one isn't then bewildered by this or that manifestation of duality, of the configuration of the elements, and the functioning of the demigods, and the meeting out of one's past karma, and so forth. The whole show of the material energy is not bewildering, because there's one purpose. And sometimes the show is like this, and sometimes the show is like that, and we're not, you know, a mature devotee is not like a little child who looks at the cloud and sees, Mommy, there's a pussycat. And then, Mommy, it's a tiger. And then it's gone. So one is happiness and other is distress and the other is neither. This platform of the best form of bhakti is without material desire to be an enjoyer of something, and the proper regard for the configurations of matter and the demigods that are controlling it. Because there's shelter without some material motivation. Last point, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something very, very interesting. From the verse, those of you that have your book, text 32, Anu Shravika Karmanam, Anu Shravanika Karmanam. It's translated Anushravika according to Scripture. Within that word, Anu means to follow, and Shravana is hearing. So hearing, Scriptures are to be heard. But he goes in a slightly different direction. That which is heard is the mantra. And he explains that one who hears mantra, that's diksha. You receive mantra from guru, and that's diksha. And the activities that one does should be pursuance of that mantra, that sound vibration, anushravika, karmanam. And so in this way, the diksha guru gives the mantra, and the shiksha guru gives instructions how to fulfill the purpose of the mantra. Beautiful, huh? So we had this discussion yesterday, somewhere along the way, about the etiquette of the shiksha guru, diksha guru. The shiksha guru is to give elucidation on how to follow that sound vibration of the mantra. So etiquette-wise, that mantra and the diksha guru prevails. The diksha guru may also give shiksha, but a shiksha guru is just supporting that. Anushravika karmanam. It's a detail. It's not the essence of what he's presenting here, but it's important. Through sound, then one acts according to, pursuant to, in the cultivation of that sound that is heard. Taj joshanad ash apavarga vartmani shadha bhaktir bhaktir anukramishati. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to end. See if there's any discussion. Yes.
So sorry, I came in late. I think something that I'm asking about it. One question I was asked and I could not answer was, so demigods are controlling the senses. So who are controlling the senses of demigods?
You want to guess? Just set it down, please. Say it the other way around. Who are the demigods serving? Okay. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. Because that's their consciousness. The Lord reciprocates with their consciousness. He's their master. They're his servant.
About the mind and the senses and the demigods, but initially we heard mind, senses, and the modes of material nature. So there are those.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Same thing.
The mind, senses, and modes of nature. Where is that? We'll go to the text 20. Excuse me, chapter 26. I'll read the verse again. Whoops. The cause of, this is text 8, chapter 26. The cause of the conditioned soul's material body and senses, and the senses presiding deities, the demigods, is the material nature, prakriti. Cause, effect. Body, senses, and demigods, presiding deities of the senses. So now, could you restate your question?
Yes. So what I was thinking that behind every sense, the mind is there. Behind the senses, mind is there.
Or above every sense, the mind is there.
Behind the
senses. Above every sense, the mind is there. Above. It's the ruling of the other senses. The senses follow the mind.
So the mind controls the senses in a way.
Yes, yes. Not exactly, but something like that. It leads. Sometimes the senses are rebellious. They don't want to go where the mind wants to go.
Right, and then you said that above that is the demigods.
The demigods are controllers.
Controllers.
But it also says, in the verse that we just read, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. So you're go ahead, ask your question.
Yes, so senses are the symbolic representation of the demigods. But what I heard is the senses, it's the material energy which acts on the senses, and that is how we act. So that it's the material energy involvement is there in the...
Sure, material energy's involvement is there, for sure. And the material energy is supervised by the personality of Godhead and the demigods' existence, their capacity to be demigods, besides just being a living entity, but specifically having that function of demigods, Prakriti empowers them through the agency of the personality of Godhead.
So Supreme Personality of Godhead, material energy, demigod, senses,
yeah.
Mind and then senses.
You okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
And another thing.
Yes.
One more thing. What is it which keeps us going in the spiritual behavior? I know hearing is one of them, but why do we sometimes feel, I'm talking about my personal thing, why is it sometimes I feel very enthusiastic, sometimes I'm just okay? Why there is up and down in that?
The connection, it's like internet, you know, your connection can be stronger or weaker. It has to do with our, you know, the operative consciousness behind. So when submission is strong, there may be different reasons for submission. Could be association. Could be we're suffering. We don't like to suffer. Different impetuses. So in a varying degree, the impetus of submission or impetus for submission varies. And so it acts. Our submission is unsteady, and so our experience is similar. We're less, more enthusiastic, less enthusiastic. Unsteady bhakti, say it differently. Same thing, but differently. Unsteady bhakti is due to coverings of the soul, or anarthas. And steady bhakti is when the coverings are removed. That help?
That is a gradual process.
Generally.
So, Maharaj, in the 32nd verse, for 4, Prabhupada said that when the service is ultimately aimed at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the senses are in their natural position. So, when the senses are in the natural position, are they still being controlled by the demigods, or the control is to
take? It is to control directly by Krishna. He takes direct control. I mean, you can elaborate, but the demigods are there for conditioned souls. They, you know, they're in concert with the Supreme Lord, but it's directly the Supreme Lord. The internal potency is active in the realm of devotional service. Pure devotional service is conducted under the agency of the internal potency. The demigods, back to her hierarchy here, they're able to be demigods by the power of the external potency. And they can lose their power also.
So I have a following question for that.
Okay.
Like in the unmixed bhakti, sometimes our senses are fully engaged in the devotional service and sometimes in the sense gratificatory services. So in that
That's this unsteady thing. That's not unmixed devotional service. That's unsteady devotional service.
So does the sati happen?
Yeah, it's vacillating.
So when we are fully doing the devotional service,
yeah. The position of being engaged in devotional service can be intermittent. It's kind of our experience, and that's what was being said over here too. I'm feeling inspired to serve Krishna. Now I want to take a vacation. It's the material mentality. I worked hard. I deserve some enjoyment. No break from devotional service. We may take some quiet time for hearing and chanting and reflecting and so forth, as opposed to the active kind of devotional service, but that's also a devotional activity for one who is situated and properly in devotional service. Something else?
How do living entities get the bodies? Do they get in sarga or in visarga? Different bodies of living entities.
Visarga.
Brahma does it.
Yeah.
According to the past karma.
Yeah. One can say the other, because Brahma can't do anything without the ingredients. But directly, Brahma. And you can say mother and father. But, you know, it's under Prakriti and so forth. And the demigods. And so, you know, the different levels you can say, and they're all correct. Ultimately, it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's a function of Visarga, the sub-creation, making the cosmos and populating it, giving bodies to living entities. Anything else? Okay. Yes.
So this past time ends with Lord Kapila leaving the home and Mother Devahuti practicing austerities and then following Lord Kapila's instructions. Right?
Yeah.
So why, even after this instruction, why didn't Lord Kapila stay and guide Mother Devahuti? Because kind of
he had to teach other people.
It's like a mood of separation, like again, cause separation. Yes.
Yeah, separation is nice. Yes?
So Kapila Dev is the Satya Veshavata. So, and he says that, you know, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the lecture you described that he is a jiva who has been empowered by...
And we accept that as the Supreme Personality of God, as a Shakyavesha avatar. I also explained that in the Bhagavatam, in the previous chapters, where Lord Vishnu appears before Kardama Muni, he says to Kardama Muni, I will appear as a plenary portion, as your son. So I explained, there are some renderings that say a jiva that's empowered, and some renderings that say plenary portion. And now I'm saying, in either case, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You shouldn't make a distinction that says, he's not the Supreme Personality of God, he's just a jiva that's empowered. Whoa, better watch out. He's to be respected as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's bearing the fullness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So even if a jiva...
Even if. Yep. They're avatars of Vishnu. Yes. The goal is to serve him in that consciousness, yes.
And chanting is the main thing. It's like chanting is the main. So, how to do offenseless chanting? What are the practical tips so that we can advance in chanting?
There's 10 offenses in number, and you follow them. You know what they are and follow them. That's how you do. Something else? Yes. Volume up a little bit. How can we
remain more steady in devotion?
By purity. Purity means anarthas are gone. And the means for anarthas to go is to execute bhakti, tivra bhakti. You know that one. Not only you know the meaning, you know the application. Tivra bhakti. Very focused. Because impurity is there, you bring purity upon the impurity and it becomes pure. That's the principle. Say the same thing in a different way. Along with the activities that we do, make conscientious effort to bring our consciousness to bear on the person who we're serving, Krishna, in devotion. Not just do, but the internal work of bringing our consciousness to Krishna. When chanting, for example, not just make the sound, but bring your consciousness to the person who is none different than that sound. Bring your consciousness to the sound in a personal way. And practice that. And that dissipates the impurities, whatever they might be, and however big they might be. However old and entrenched they may be, it's more powerful. It brings purity. And then the same consciousness when we're doing the other things we do, on the strength of that quality chanting. When worshiping, when associating, when cooking, when doing our devotional service. Not just it should come out nice, cooking, for example, but Krishna, consciousness. Bring our consciousness to bear on for whom are we doing this? Consciousness goes up and impurities are gone or diminished. And we continue to practice like that and avoid offenses. Purity. Steady.
One more thing.
Yes.
So how does modes of material nature act on demigods? Is it only the mode of goodness that acts
no.
on them?
No. When, for example, the common thing we talk about is Indra makes a boo-boo. It's not the mode of goodness. The modes of nature are also acting. More prominently, the quality of goodness. But sometimes the modes of nature are competing for supremacy, and sometimes those other modes supersede. And then subside. Modes of nature acting on the demigods also. Every embodied being, the modes of nature are acting. Until that state where it's Shuddha bhakti. And that's what's being described. The best form of bhakti is that. Yes?
Can you elaborate on characteristics of steady bhakti?
Can you be a little more specific? That's
How is it more than being regulated? I just want to understand.
It's the consciousness behind the activity. Just back to Divya Drishti's, the response to her question. Krishna. Consciousness is upon Krishna. There's the steadiness. That creates the steadiness. And back to the other, why is it where the sine curve? Sometimes high, sometimes up and down. Our attention, the signal, comes in and goes out. Our attention to Krishna is stronger and then weaker and then stronger and weaker. And when it's weaker, it's the modes of the Maya immediately comes and fills our thoughts with something else. There's no delay. So it's our affinity or our attachment for Krishna. And the Kapila Dev's teaching is the attachment for sadhu. Immediately connects us with that attachment for Krishna. As the creeper attaches to the tree that goes to the lotus feet of Krishna. And attaches to the lotus feet of Krishna. Confirmed. Yes.
One of the verses in this sadhu sangha was saying that we can see things in the right perspective.
Yes.
So went back to that thing. 14th chapter says people know the
going back to
14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
14th chapter, okay.
People in the mode of goodness of God, rise in the proper, can see things in the right perspective.
Yeah.
But then again, we are saying modes are competing, so.
Yeah, well, so when, yes, good point. When you're situated in the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness is prevailing, and ignorance and passion are recessive, but competing, one can see things in the right perspective more. And in Shuddha, never interrupted. So the mode of goodness is best. And we can then see things in the right perspective until the other modes of nature interrupt. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here's some very special high test, high octane Mahaprasadam. And Nandasutta knows the story behind it, but something to do with there's only 100 of these little things that come out once per year. And Tirupati?
This one of the Lord Prabhu bought a very special laddu from a Tirupati. And there are only 100 people are given in one year. So he got the whole laddu for us. And I gave it to Maharaj. So whoever came to him is going to get one. It's like once in a lifetime opportunity to get this time.
Like 1 year people getting this in 1 year. There are millions and millions of people. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Here you go. Right hand. That's there. There we go. There we go. Careful. Don't drop it.
When are you starting for Portland at noon?
Noon. Thank you.